thing that if you were to meet the Lord and he'd say to us, we'd say, oh, yes, we read our Bibles and we heard those fantastic sermons from Dale, or not. And at the end of the day, the question is, and yes, and what did we do about that? It's a good question to live with, not just for today, but maybe the whole of our James series. If we can make this period, this season in the autumn of saying, okay, what have we done about that? It's a great thought and a prayer to live with as we go through the book of James. I particularly like for today his comment about looking in the mirror. I don't do it a lot, you may have noticed. But the only time I do it is in the bathroom. Most mornings. Every morning. Every morning. And I look in the mirror. And what do I see? No shouting out. No. I see a face. I see a couple of eyes and a nose and a mouth in the traditional positions. Some debate over the number of chins that are visible, perhaps. Nearly all the time there's a mustache. Not always. Not always. Hasn't always been there. It's been occasionally joined by a beard, but that was always a mistake. But there I am. I look at myself and I think, for me, the issue is not about forgetting what I look like when I look in the mirror, but looking in the mirror and forgetting to do something about it. You know, not very complicated. You know, the combing of the hair, the washing of the face, the brushing of the teeth. Not complicated. But that seems to be the parallel with the reading of the word here. Not just looking at it, but actually, what have I done about it? I have in mind just those very everyday basic consequences of looking in the mirror. Again, looking in the mirror doesn't change how I look in any way, but if I do something on the basis of what I see there, there is hope for improvement, or at least sorting a few things out. And I was talking with a friend about this some years ago when we decided, would either of us have the nerve to preach a little sermon on the title of Sermons in a Bathroom, or Sermons from the Bathroom? So that's what you're getting today. That's the subtitle, Sermons from the Bathroom. So all the time we're going through the book of James, this order, whenever you go to the bathroom, I don't want any details, but whenever you go to the bathroom, just think about, sermons in a bathroom, looking in the mirror. Yeah, what have I done about that Bible reading that I heard about yesterday, or the one I've just done this morning, or I'm going to do later? And some of the things we find in that bathroom can just remind us some of the practical steps that James wants us to take as a result of hearing and receiving God's word. And the whole book of James is full of very practical steps. I said last week, as we got into the first part of chapter 1 about perseverance and maturity, it's a bit like the overture, setting out some of the themes that are going to come back throughout the book, and we'll see that. Let's see what we find here. First of all, the mirror. Hands up anyone who's looked in a mirror so far today, already today. Maybe that's about it. Is it embarrassing to put hand up or keep it down? That's the question. There you go. What a well-groomed bunch, I could tell, looking at you. I'm always amazed on the metro here, but even more on the MTR in Hong Kong, when young women in particular would have a little mirror and would be doing extremely complicated things with makeup in the midst of the train. I've no idea how they do that. Especially those things with the eyelashes, or they're like instruments of torture, those kind of pincers. But certainly in Hong Kong, all around in the mornings, that was happening. So we see a mirror. So what do we see? Well, I'm reminded when I look in the mirror that actually I'm a work in progress. There's room for improvement. That God's at work to change me into the image of his son. And when I see the mirror, well, I hear that reminder, an invitation and warning from James and Jesus about what am I doing about it. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So I think about, what am I building on? Have I found the security and solidity of a life based on God's word? It all sounds a bit complicated when I'm waking up in the morning, but you know what I mean. I look in the mirror and I think, what's the God at work in this person who's looking back at me from the mirror? I think it was Calvin who said, obedience is the mother of true knowledge of God. There is no substitute for doing what the Lord says. Okay, there's the mirror. Well, then I see the soap. Soap is good. Definitely. Soap is good. Or maybe use some other more complicated cleansing lotion, depending on your personal way. But soap works for me, getting the dirt off. And, of course, that's one of the great themes in James. We heard in verse 21 of chapter 1, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can serve you. It's a picture of being cleansed, being washed, our moral transformation, not just self-help, getting our act together, but there's a word that's planted in us, and we are changed as that word grows and develops and is obeyed in our lives. It's about being cleansed. Maybe let the soap remind you of God's cleansing work in our lives. The short term for that is holiness. Sounds a very old-fashioned or unpopular word, but it's another shorthand for obedience, about doing God's will, God's way. I remember a friend who came to faith in Christ, and I was chatting with her and her husband, who was the most delightful man, had not yet come to faith at that point. He went on to. But she looked at her husband, Derek, and said, Derek, where did you get those pens in your top pocket from? And he goes, I think I picked them up at work. Derek, you stole those pens. And it's kind of, it's a trivial example, but something deep within her, God had stirred so that she really wanted to do the right thing. And she knew enough that Christians don't steal when we love God. You see, we laughed about it afterwards, especially after Derek had come to faith a bit later. But the real sense that God had stirred something inside of her that I want to do the right thing. I want to go God's way. And I pray that he would stir that in all of us. That wherever we're at in our life, and we'll all be different. Wherever we're at, there's something God will stir within us to say, I want to be more like Jesus. So, the mirror? What do I see? Somebody in the process of being changed? The soap? What do I see? So, well, somebody that's in the process of cleaning us up. But then, of course, we come to brushing our teeth or using mouthwash, because James has a lot to say about our mouths and what comes out of them. We'll be coming back to that later in the letter. Don't worry, there'll be at least a whole sermon on that topic. But just for now, verse 19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's really good to be slow about some things and quick about other things. Quick to listen. So I guess I should be saying clean your ears out, but I'm sure the doctors among us would say, oh, don't do that. Don't turn anything with your ears. My mother always used to say, the only thing to put in your ear is your elbow. Don't try that now. But the idea is, first, you're going to be quick to listen. The three rules for Christian communication are listen, listen, listen. I'm going to let you in on a secret here. You don't tell anybody, will you? But quite often, Christians are rubbish at listening. Because we're so keen to say things about, we're so excited about the good news, and we're so keen to say things, we forget James's instructions that we're going to be quick to listen. We're going to be great listeners because we love this person and we want to hear what they've got to say and find out more about them. And then when we're going to be slow, but we are going to speak, but we're going to be very slow to become angry. So we clean out our ears, metaphorically, that's a long word, and we're careful how we speak. Yes, chapter 3 is going to give us an extended words about our speech, but here we're concerned not to speak rash or angry words, because they're no good. We're going to speak thoughtful and loving words after we have first listened. So perhaps when we brush our teeth in the bathroom, we can think about what we're going to say today and how we're going to say it. And maybe pray to God and say, Lord, guard my mouth. Discipline me about what I'm going to say. Don't let me lie or gossip or even just be mean or unthinking. That's a difference we can all make to the world around us by speaking right. That's wrong. Speaking correctly, speaking rightly. So we got the mirror, we got the soap, we've got like toothbrushy kind of things, the towel. The towel. Because Christians remember that the image of taking the towel is an image of service. We remember Jesus washing his disciples' feet and showing what it is to serve. And perhaps the towel can serve as a reminder we are called to serve, not to be served. As we heard in verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That kind of generous, loving service to those in need is God's pattern for the disciples of Jesus. And maybe the towel can just be a reminder of that. So there you go, a little sermon in the bathroom. You can preach it to yourself every morning. Don't look too excited. Just a simple reminder that God is real and wants us to respond in practical ways to what he says. And the great news, of course, is as we do this, we find that God is shaping us and we're living his way in his world that is the path that God himself blesses. Because as we're going to hear a little bit later in James, in chapter 4 and verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. I hope you think that's fantastic. Let me pray for us for a moment. Father, we thank you for your gracious invitation to come to you. And we pray that as we hear your word, as we read it, as we hear it, so help us to be doers of your word, that in our place where we are set, that we will make a difference in how we behave, in how we speak, in how we care for others, and how we serve real need. Lord Jesus, we pray you'll take us and use us to love and to serve in the power of the Holy Spirit today and always. Amen. We're going to sing together. Song The Lion and the Lamb, that we've sung it here before, and we're going to stand. And as we sing, we're going to take up our offering. We're going to pass the collection plate to take up our offering for the ministry and mission of St. Mark's. Let's stand and sing together.